Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. We're here today on a very sunny, warm, beautiful day at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick. And I wanted to let you know that Heritage Radio Network is brought to you by Cabot Cheese. For holiday recipes, let the great taste of Cabot Cheese make them even more special. Award-winning Cabot Cheese, 100% of our profits go to New England and New York farm families. On the web at CabotCheese.com. You can also win... you can score yourself some Cabot Cheese by simply calling into the station, I understand. So the number is 718-497-2128. We have a wonderful guest. She does not make cheese, but maybe there's something with cheese in the future for one of your confections. Who knows? Just putting that out there.
Cabot? We actually do put cheese in something.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's an unusual addition to the wonderful selection of artisanal, locally sourced ingredients, high quality, beautiful candies by Litabit Sweets.
What's us?
Thank you so much. That's Liz Gutman. She Hello. Is one of the co-founders. The other founder, Jen King. It's a two-woman operation, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. We do have one full-time employee and then a couple other, you know, people cool. who come in and help us out.
That's amazing. And you guys are how old? 1 year? 2 years?
Year and a half.
Year and a half.
May 09 is when we started. So.
And did you ever imagine that you'd become, you know, how many accounts do you have now?
Well, let's see. Wholesale. We're in over 20 stores in the area.
In the area? Well, I was in Cambridge, Mass. And I saw your candy bars in Formaggio Kitchen, this lovely gourmet store.
Yes, Formaggio is amazing. We actually got to do an event there this past spring, I want to say. That store is so amazing.
I know.
Like, I had no idea.
I know. Well, I was there, this feels like Brooklyn. And then I looked at all the products. I'm like, wait a minute.
It's like they went to the flea and dragged a rake through it.
Yeah.
No, that store is amazing. But yeah, we're in a couple random places too. There's one place in Marblehead, Massachusetts that we're in now. There was one place in Oregon. I don't know if they still have our stuff.
But, okay.
You know.
Right on. And you started out at Brooklyn Flea.
Basically. Yes, indeed. Yeah, that was pretty much our springboard for everything, I guess. Yeah. I mean, you know, we thought it was going to be like a fun little hobby, just like selling some stuff on the side for cash, because we both had jobs, and it just totally, you know, we got some press through the flea, and it just snowballed
amazing.
From there. Yeah.
And you're still at the flea, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is up with that? The flea is like an amazing springboard, isn't it?
Seriously. Well, I mean, you know, the whole reason that we went there is because I knew about Mass Brothers and Nunu. And, you know, I was like, oh, well, they already have some food there. Yeah, exactly. And so then when it was the second season that we started selling there. And it was actually, we sent in our application and then maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, that Times article about like the Brooklyn food movement came out with the photo of Eric, like in the middle of there was the Mass Brothers and the guy from Wheelhouse. And we were like, oh, geez, they're never going to let us in now.
Yeah.
And yet, lo and behold, they did.
It's amazing. I think one of the wonderful things about it is seeing the synergy between a lot of the businesses. They use the same ingredients or they use each other's ingredients.
Yeah, well, that was actually what I was thinking of earlier, because we use Salvatore Brooklyn's ricotta in some of our
caramels. Yeah, and they're like a few stands down at the flea.
Exactly.
And you also use Brooklyn Brewery's beer for your salty, what's that called?
Beer and pretzel caramel,
which is one of like the most popular, right?
Yeah, that and the sea salt, I think.
Has a lot of notoriety.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that gets tons. Yeah, that gets a lot of love. I think that one surprises a lot of people because they're not, whatever they're expecting when they hear beer and pretzel caramel, it's not what they end up putting in their mouth.
And oh,
they
really?
Go kind of. Oh. Oh, that makes sense now.
Okay. I don't know what any other beer and pretzel caramel should taste like.
Well, yeah. I mean, neither, like, you know, I've been making them since before I started Litabit. I've been making them for over 2 years. And so, you know, I can taste them right now just thinking about it. So to me, the idea of someone tasting it for the first time, I'm like, I have no idea where you're coming from right now because this is like half my diet. But I think it pleasantly surprises a lot of people. And then, of course, the slurtles came out of that, too. The drunken turtles that we have with pretzels or potato chips, which we actually I forgot to ask Jenna how we did this weekend. I did a one-off batch of slurtles with chicharrón from the meat hook.
Oh, that's perfect.
They're actually really good.
Wow. I've never heard of that before.
You know, that actually, we actually had the idea for that, like, right when we started, but I did not really go forward with it because, A, the slurtles weren't doing too hot when we first started, okay. Because I think people weren't really used to the whole idea of what we did yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was summer, and no one buys candy in summer, and then all of a sudden last fall, everyone was buying slurtles. Mm. But then it was like, you know, I was like, yeah, the chicharrón, whatever, because we use, like, the crappy 99-cent ones that we bought at the mm-hmm. corner store or whatever. But I was talking to Tom from Meat Hook, and I was like, you guys don't still do chicharrón, do you? He's like, we could do a batch for you if you want. And nice. I was like, hell yeah. So
that is so cool.
So we made a few, and they're really tasty.
That's amazing.
But I have yet to find out if anyone actually bought them or not.
Well, I'm eating right now some of their Breakfast of Heroes popcorn. It looks like caramel popcorn, but it has bacon in it, too.
And bourbon.
Oh,
and
really?
Coffee and maple syrup.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Where do you get your bacon for this guy?
That guy is, I think we just use Boar's Head or something similar mm-hmm. to it. The commodity bacon, well, not commodity, but, you know, the commercially, the thin sliced, works much better in that because we did a few batches with, like, with Meat Hook bacon and...
You can call them meatheads. It's okay.
Well, they should call themselves meatheads. Although Hookers
is pretty
good. They
should have t-shirts that say meathead.
You're welcome, Tom and Brent and Ben.
I'm sure they love it.
Yeah. No, the thin sliced bacon actually works a lot better in that one because we tried the nice thick cut, like artisanal stuff. And it was, it was just too... I don't know.
They would separate from the popcorn and be separate on the bottom or something.
Exactly. And then you just have like little chunks of meat at the bottom and no one wants that.
Okay. Well, you could just do purely that, maybe. I don't know.
Candied bacon.
Candied bacon.
That would be so expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. I mean, look, we have way too many ideas than we have time to make them.
Cool.
So I'm sure there'll be something else meat based in the future, but the chicharrón slurtle was sort of
that
a concession.
That sounds awesome. What is the slurtle? What does the S mean?
Well, it's drunk SL. Turtle.
Oh.
Because there's beer in it. So they slur. So they're slurtles.
That's cute.
Yeah. I get a lot of people asking that at the market too. And I'm like, just think about it for a minute. You'll get it. And some people go, oh, and some people go, I still don't get it. And then I feel like a thing bad.
You're like, sort of slur your speech a little and then
yeah, exactly.
Have
drunk,
a few
slur,
yeah,
get it?
Shots.
Yeah.
So I think that one of the things that really separates your candy from other candies, and I would say even the same thing for, you know, Lena's Anarchy in the Jar Jam or soda, Brooklyn Soda Works soda from other sodas and all these local people, is that they really have a lot of fun and creativity with their flavors. And your flavors are amazing.
Thanks.
I just have this wonderful bag right now of all their seasonal bars, which are great. I mean, I never really like candy bars like Milky Way. Like, I could give it or take it, nougat, who cares?
Right.
It's just puff sugar. But your bars, there's this new mint one that looks amazing.
It's honestly...
Peppermint.
It's called the Humbug. And mm-hmm. The whole... This is my biggest selling point, and I've already used it, and I will continue to use it through mm-hmm. the holiday season, is that my business partner, Jen, mm-hmm. I find her secretly snacking on those. And she has, like, zero sweet tooth. Like, for me, whatever. I eat pretty much whatever's in front of me. So mm-hmm. if I'm eating something, you know, I have good taste.
By the way, you want some of your caramel corn?
No, because you know why? Because we've been wrapping caramels all morning, and I've been eating those.
Oh.
And then Jen... See, that's the other thing. Jen brings in, like, snacks.
This is why I can never be a confectioner.
Yeah. Jen brings in snacks that she eats, like, a bite of and then gets rid of. And so we have, you know, the cake balls that they have at Momofuku Milk Bar now.
Yeah.
She has those in the kitchen. I'm like, you're killing me. I'm the only one who eats this stuff. So anyway, the fact that she's snacking on the humbug means that
this is a pretty serious. It has white chocolate ganache on it.
Well, it's dipped in white chocolate. It's a chocolate cookie. So okay. sort of like a shortbread, but like super chocolatey. We use like the Dutch cocoa, and it's got that really rich, deep flavor. Mm-hmm. And then we have a dark chocolate peppermint ganache, which is like very fresh and bright. And then we dip it in white chocolate. And we actually tried it with white and dark chocolate. I liked the white chocolate better. My theory is that the extra fat in the white chocolate carries the peppermint oil better.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true.
It definitely looks very winter wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and because, you know, we have the pecan pie, which is dark chocolate, and then the pumpkin pie, which is milk chocolate.
Pumpkin pie looks good. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so awesome. I don't even like pumpkin pie that much.
Wow.
But that's kind of the whole thing behind our stuff is that we don't sell anything that we don't think tastes awesome.
Yeah, so we're talking pumpkin pie candy bars. I remember one of the first ones you have is the lime and the coconut. Or do you still have that one?
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, the King, the lime and the coconut, and the Snacker were like sort of the three big ones we started out with. And since then, we've added the PB&J as one of our year-round ones. And actually, I stuck one in there for you, too, the Passion Spice Bar. Have you tried that one?
Oh, no.
Oh, man, yeah, that thing is so seasonal. Good. We started that as a seasonal last Valentine's Day. It was called the Spicy Valentine Bar. And we brought it back for Mother's Day, and we did it at the Chili Festival at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden just a couple months back, and people went crazy for it. I think because there were a lot of people there who hadn't tried it before.
Spicy. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a passion fruit caramel with cayenne pepper and crispy rice cereal dipped in dark chocolate.
What
a
good idea.
Super simple, but I mean, I'm a sucker for passion fruit, so it's like sour, but sweet, but crunchy, but spicy. It's got like a little bit of everything going on. It's awesome.
Sounds passionate.
It is, and spicy.
So would that be your sexiest candy bar?
I think it would be. I mean, we did come up with it for Valentine's Day, so
cool.
You know, and just brought it back because people clearly couldn't live without it. And, you know, we're not dicks. We're going to give people what they want.
Do you find your food is very gifty? It's like very you want to give it to somebody that you love.
Hopefully.
I mean, it's beautiful to look at. It's decadent. It's it's a sweet treat.
Definitely. Well, and we actually we talk about this all the time, and you know, again, I see Jen every day, so we know exactly how we feel on this stuff. But as far as candy goes, there's actually a recent article in the Times. I think that was called "Is Candy Evil or Just Misunderstood?" And it was this woman.
I saw that too. Yeah,
This woman, Professor Candy. She has like a blog about candy and like goes into the history of it, which I think is super cool. And just, you know, like, well, where did this come from, and how long have we been making this, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have the feeling like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having, you know, a Kit Kat or a Milky Way, or like we have peanut M&Ms in the kitchen, you know, like I definitely am not so much a snob about it that it's like, oh, you're eating peanut M&Ms. How disgusting. But I think we've gotten used to this kind of like false cheapness of candy. I mean, the fact is that chocolate wasn't readily available until, you know, the early part of this century. And even then it was like, not this century. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The early 1900s. Mm-hmm. Even then it was expensive and, you know, didn't really become a commodity until it's only been the past 100 years that that's happened. And now you can walk into a store, you know, buy a pack of M&Ms for 80 cents a buck, whatever it costs, which is fine. But, you know, I don't know. It's just for me, you know, I'm like wanting to go off on that big tangent of like, well, this is, you know, it's this, we have such access to sugar and it's cheap calories and all this other stuff. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, our treats are treats.
And they're clearly that. I mean, they look like they're something not to just gobble down and throw away.
Exactly.
In a second.
Yeah, they're pricey. You know, we make them all by hand. We source the ingredients, you know, they're as good as we can find them, basically.
Yeah, I think one of the stigmas of candy is that they're empty calories, you know, because it's all processed food. There's absolutely nothing in it that has any real food traces.
Pretty much,
usually, it's like sugar, corn syrup, artificial flavor, but you actually have fruit and like peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And these things actually do have, you know, a little bit of value.
Well, yeah. And I mean, for us more, it's, you know, you're right, is that it's a treat. You know, you get it and hopefully you're going to share it with someone or you sit down and
I like that.
Enjoy it. You know, you
even
say,
though I'm eating this all by myself.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it's like, again, you're sitting there like eating a piece. It's mm-hmm. not this kind of like handfuls. And again,
yeah.
I eat like that. I am mm-hmm. not sitting here passing judgment on people. I can snack with the best of them.
That's good to know.
Yeah, but what we hope that people do with our stuff is, you know, enjoy it, share it with somebody, talk about how it tastes, what you mm-hmm. like about it, what you don't like about it, you know, talk about whatever. Like, we just want you we want it to be an experience.
Yeah.
It's not just something to do while you're watching TV or reading or on your way to work.
It's food for thought in itself. Absolutely.
Indeed.
Oh, well, thank you.
New tagline.
Cool. Well, Liz, you picked a song to play?
I did.
Okay, let's put it on. Be right back.
Hey, you! Do you remember me? I used to sit next to you at school, and we had talked in all the extracurricular activities. We weren't particularly cool.
The New England and New York farm families who own Cabot Cooperative are offering listeners a chance to win some of the world's best cheddar simply by calling into our network at 718-497-2128 or emailing us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. What a great way to start the holidays. We'll be picking a winner for the program 1 week from today. Cabot Creamery is a proud supporter of what Heritage Radio is all about.
Right, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Urey. I'm with Liz Gutman of Little Bit Sweets.
Hello.
And that was a song that she likes rocking to while cooking sometimes.
Heck right? Yeah. We actually have all kinds of different playlists. We've been really into Pandora lately because, you know, you
just
only
put
have
it
so
on and
playlists.
Let it go.
Pretty much.
And
yeah.
Your hands are gooey.
Exactly. We don't have to mess with it.
Right on. So you founded this with Jen, and you both graduated from FCI in desserts, right?
Yeah, that's where we met. That's where we became friends. We did the pastry program, the night pastry program, at French Culinary, and we finished there. It's actually really funny. They've been, and I totally get it, they've been like promoting us a lot, and you know, we actually got to go back there and do a demo, which was super cool and like a total trip.
Wow.
And because we just graduated in August of 08, so completely by chance, you know, our trajectory, I guess, from grads to business owners,
right,
to, you know, kind of people being known in the food community has been extremely quick. But yeah, you know, we both came from different backgrounds. I actually moved to New York to be an actor. Jen was in politics before she decided
amazing.
To go into food. Yeah, so completely disparate backgrounds.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Again. Yeah, it's been something.
Yeah. The power of two chicks in the kitchen. Seriously.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt that we're both like totally obsessed with working like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
We kind of like dream in candy these days, you know.
Are you guys both single?
Jen has a boyfriend who is awesome. We actually met him at the Flea.
Oh, wow.
He helps us out a lot, like a lot.
Oh, that's great.
The jam. Hey,
wow.
Jonathan, if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually working the Flea for us this weekend, too.
Wow. That's great.
I am single. I am dating the company, I guess.
I don't know. Awesome.
That sounds weird, though.
Does that mean, can I still ask you what you would cook for your favorite date meal, most romantic meal ever?
Because
I know
you can
cook, like, serious, so I want to know.
I actually do really like cooking at home. I miss it because it's, especially now we're in the holiday
because you're eating
season.
Candy all day.
Pretty, don't tell everyone that. you know, I'm an adult. It's natural. Have a balanced
I love
diet.
That you eat it while you're cooked, because I do that, you know.
It's seriously, I feel like I'm poorly representing a little bit, because I think I'm the most snack monstery out of everybody. I'll just be like,
you're like, wait a minute, that was $10.
Except maybe we have one of our employees, Marissa. She's in that sort of honeymoon phase where she'll be like, don't throw those away, I'll take those scraps mm-hmm. home. And we're like, yes, please do. But what I don't necessarily tell everybody is that I still do that. I still take scraps home because I hate throwing things away.
Yeah.
But you know what it is. As far as what I would cook, I mean, honestly, I don't know. It sort of depends. Like, I'm very much off the cuff about cooking dinner. Mm-hmm. So I would probably end up just like going to a store in the afternoon being like, what looks good? You know, fish or maybe a sausage or something. Part of the fun of it for me, maybe because confectionery is so like, you know, you have to know exactly what you're doing. Everything has to be scaled properly. Yeah. You have to pay attention. I kind of really like doing stuff that I don't have to think too hard about in advance.
Like, yeah, you can let go and
exactly. Just like, that looks good. Or, oh, I have this in my freezer I need to use up. Or, you know.
That sounds perfect. Yeah, that's totally what I would do. It's still like, my parents are like, what are you going to make for Thanksgiving? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go to the green market on Wednesday.
Exactly.
And I'll figure it out.
Exactly.
It'll be fun. We'll both figure it out.
Totally. What are you making for Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
Because now I'm like, crap, I want to know.
Yeah, what are you making?
I don't know. Actually, well, I know one of the things I'm eating on Thanksgiving, I contribute to Serious Eats too. I'm their chocolate blogger. Mm-hmm. And they just put out a call for like Thanksgiving recipes. And I'm like, chocolate recipes for Thanksgiving. We always go to my cousin's house in New Jersey. And my cousin Leon has this favorite like chocolate cake that we have every year at Thanksgiving. And what's really nice about it is that it's very light. It's very chocolatey, but it's just like a bundt cake. It's, you know, it's not mm-hmm. iced, it's not glazed or anything. Mm. So it's not too sweet, but it's got like a nice chocolatey flavor to it. And especially if you use like a nice cocoa. Mm-hmm. But it's just like kind of a perfect little end to, you know, a marathon meal. Mm. So I think I'm going to put that recipe
Death
up,
by
so.
Chocolate.
Exactly.
That sounds like a good end.
But very like... A very subdued
a light,
death.
Okay. Angel food chocolate?
No. Somewhere between that and just like a classic bundt cake, I would say. There okay. is a chocolate angel food cake, though. I think I already did that recipe up on Serious Eats, so.
Cool.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing. It actually is really delicious.
Do you help do the rest of the stuff, like turkey and any?
Honestly, mm-hmm. I love my cousins to death, but they're very, like, there's a very... set sort of kitchen hierarchy, and we're guests. Okay. So we just show up and are expected to just start eating immediately, which I have no problem with. Oddly enough, I don't really get asked to help too much in the kitchen. And again, kind of fine with it. I'm super happy to just like go out to Scotch Plains and like enjoy the leaves and have a glass of wine and like see my
take
little
a
cousins
break.
And yeah, exactly, sit down for 5 minutes.
This is what happened whenever I have real cooks. I'm like, so what do you like to cook at home? They're like, don't talk to me.
Exactly. Actually, the first job I ever had in food, I worked for, he was a pastry chef, to be fair, but he did not. And he was so fastidious about it. He did not talk about food. Like, the second we were done in the kitchen, he did not want to talk about it. He's like, I don't cook at home. I don't ever cook for, like, anybody. I go home, and I am not involved with food at all. Which I thought was really strange at the time. And the extremes to which he took it, I still think is a little bit strange. But I can understand that a little bit now, where people are like, yeah, I don't know. Because you work in food, you're like expected to be in charge of every big food event. And I can see why people would get resentful about that.
Cool. Yeah. So what do you wish that somebody would perhaps present to you to make for you? If they're...
Ooh, something expensive. I have. No, nice. I'm pretty easy. Like, you know, it's funny. I was just filling out a questionnaire for another. I think it was actually for French Culinary, where it was like, oh, what would your last meal be? And it kind of changes every day. You know, some days I'd be like, it's a burger and mac and cheese and a, you know, a 40 or whatever. And some days it's like a boiled lobster with whatever. Scallops are one of my favorite things to eat, like, ever. Just like really simple seared scallops, because they're like sweet, but, oh,
They're like a big lump of perfectly seasoned everything.
Pretty much. But they're like already seasoned themselves because they come from the ocean. And so, yeah. So scallops, I would probably say. Scallops and whatever else you decide to make with scallops.
Sounds good.
I'd be pretty happy. But if anyone ever offers to cook for me, I'm, you know, again, it's more the like the gesture. Someone's like, let me cook for you. I'm like, yes, please do. Absolutely.
Cool. So speaking of cooking, do you ever do like cooking demos? I think you did one or two at Brooklyn Kitchen. No?
Yes, we do classes. Actually, we have one coming up.
I want to know how to make this caramel corn. Actually, I'm wondering.
Well, let's see. We actually have a few caramel corn recipes floating around the interwebs. We were actually Oprah Magazine published a bunch of our recipes recently.
Okay.
Oprah, please don't listen to this part. Mm-hmm. If you don't use the recipes on Oprah.com, because we've gotten a lot of emails about how they're not working out well for people.
Okay, it happens.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to completely like pass the bucket. Well, it's not our fault, but we did give them the recipes that we use, and they adapted them. And if they're not working for people at home, I don't know what to tell you. So
basically, come to their cooking class.
Honestly, email me. Like, I'm happy to send you recipes, and I'm happy to give you tips on like, oh, maybe this is why it turned out sticky or whatever. I mean, caramel corn is great. It's really easy, and if you have kids too, you can you make the corn, let it sit for like a minute to cool down a little, and then you can make popcorn balls, which is like a nice kind of hands-on activity to do.
These are addictive,
right? Like, it's a salty sweet.
It's a crunchy crunch, I think
that too. I'm a sucker for crunchy stuff. It just makes me want to keep eating more.
What's your favorite amongst all your candies?
The stuff that we do?
Yeah.
Okay, and again, if Jen's listening, she's going to laugh at me because I'm always like, oh, that's one of my favorite things we make. But it's true. It's all the fall stuff I really like. I think, let's see, if I had to pick three, it would be the pecan pie candy bar, which is insane. It's pie crust and pecan dulce de leche, which we make from scratch. So it's like whole milk and sugar and pecans, and we cook it all the way down.
It's going to goo when I bite in. Yes.
Totally. But it's a little salty, too. And then a layer of bourbon ganache on top of that.
Wow.
So hard to go wrong with that. So the pecan pie bar, the chocolate black truffle caramels.
I've had those.
Oh, man. They're so good.
They're very sophisticated tasting. I wasn't expecting, because I didn't even read the label once when I bit in. And I was like, what the hell just happened? It tastes like truffle.
Exactly. Well, and that's one, too, that like I never try and push that on people, because if you're not going to like it, you're not going to like it. And nothing I can say is ever going to change your mind. And it's fine. We'll have something else that you like. But to me, the balance of that and like the chocolate, but then the truffle, it's a little bit savory. Funky. And there's some salt in there. And we actually, Mark from Whimsy and Spice, who is one of our flea buddies, the first time he tried that, he was like, you know, no offense, but if you guys ever go under, I'm totally stealing the recipe from you. We were like, thanks, I think.
Go under.
I mean, he's an amazing chef, so it's definitely a compliment.
That's a good compliment.
Yeah. And then I think the King Bar, man.
The Elvis Bar.
Yeah. I could just always eat that.
That's a classic. I could eat it right now,
and I've been eating caramels all morning.
Right on. Hail the King.
Yeah. Totes.
It's cool. So we just have a minute, I guess, left. Are you going to be at Flea upcoming? Because I know they're indoors now.
Yes.
For the rest.
Yeah, this past weekend was the last outdoor Saturday, sadly, especially because the weather's been so freaking nice. But we're doing a bunch of holiday markets. We're at the Flea both Saturdays and Sundays every single weekend. They're doing the Gifted Market that starts December 13th and goes through, oh no, it's the 15th through the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a pop-up store in Tribeca, December 18th and 19th. That's on 39 White Street between Church and Broadway. It's this art gallery space. It's super cool. We're there with McClure's too.
Right.
So it's your sweet and salty kind of last minute holiday gift thing. And we'll have apple cider too for you to warm up.
So basically you guys are going to be everywhere.
We're all over the place. So, yeah.
Stores.
On the website, you know, littlebitsweets.com. We have everything listed there. I'm on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're easy to get hold of.
Find it. I hope Jen's boyfriend is helping you guys out at all those markets.
He better be. You hear that, Jonathan?
All right. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. I'd like to thank Nat and Jack in the controller booth and Cabot Cheese, and we'll see you next week on Heritage Radio Network. No more, you love.
It's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.